Thank you, ladies. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We are calling today, Why Shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I? That expression in our culture maybe has a bit of a negative connotation. You know, when somebody is about to do something that they know is wrong, it's selfish, it's vindictive, you know, and you call them out on it, and they say, well, why shouldn't I? He did such and such to me, so there you go, right? But being impulsive is not always wrong, is it? There is a good and even a spiritual side to spontaneity. The Lord is calling right now, no delay, this moment, so I respond. I go. Why shouldn't I? It's a reflex. We've been talking the last several weeks about how following Christ is not something that you just say. Following Christ is certainly not just something that you say once and then go back about life the way that you always did. Now, following Christ is taking up your cross, an instrument of death, denying yourself, being raised to new life as you follow Him. Right? This is the message of Easter that we just looked at last week. In death, being laid down in death, we find new life. Do you know what the Christian symbol of that is? The Christian symbol, laid down with Christ, raised with Christ? It's baptism, right? It's baptism. Something happened during the offertory that maybe got a few of the attention of a few of you. We are calling today, Why Shouldn't I? And you're going to see from our first biblical character that is in relation to something as simple as, there's water. Right there it is. It's full. I didn't check the temperature this morning, but Kim told me it's all right. There's water. Why shouldn't I? We're going to have some baptisms today, and we don't know who. This is, as a church, this is not a pre-prepared slate of baptism candidates. This is not, hey, we have this group that we've been interviewing and we have been preparing, and so they're going to come forward and be baptized today. No, this is saying, looking out, there are some of us in this room who have professed Christ. We are believers. We came into church today not planning on being baptized. There it is. Let's go. All right? Staff have been planning this for a while. We've been referring to this as go home wet Sunday, right? We thought it was going to be a little bit warmer in April, but sorry about that. For what it's worth, you know, I had to prepare a change of clothes to do this again at 11 o'clock, and I took my bag backstage, and I realized I've got shoes, socks, everything else. I don't have the hangers with my pants and shirt, so I got to go home before 11 o'clock. So we're all going to be in this together, right? Going home wet today, I want to give you three little vignettes in the Bible regarding baptism to give you as full of a picture of what's going on today as possible. It's kind of fun, isn't it? Here's the first vignette. Ethiopian eunuch. You remember Acts 8? In Acts, the church is growing, the apostles are ministering, people are coming to faith. And in Acts 8, we are told that the Holy Spirit tells Philip, go up to that chariot and stay near it. And what we are probably supposed to picture, go up to that chariot and stay near it, we should probably picture Philip doing this. The chariot likely is not sitting still. Stay near it means the chariot is moving and Philip is going to have to run to stay by it. Believers, that is a tremendous picture of evangelism, of coming into relationship, coming alongside somebody, staying alongside of them, no matter where they are going or what they are doing. This is not simply dropping a gospel tract bomb and then leaving, right? There's place for that too. This is coming alongside somebody. And that takes work and energy and all kinds of effort. All right, first thing. But now, who is in the chariot? It's the Ethiopian eunuch. And we are told
In 27 and 28, we are told that he is returning from Jerusalem. So important. You see, and I've done this before, so we're going to do pretty quickly today, but he would have been turned away from Jerusalem because, one, he was an Ethiopian. He was a Gentile. There's a sign outside the temple that said, any foreigner who enters beyond this point will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. Right? You're a foreigner, you don't get let in. He's an Ethiopian. He is also not let in because he is a eunuch. He was thought to be unfit. And so he would have been turned away. And it's helpful to know that it was a long way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, even now. Right? It's far. And he did it by horse. It's dusty. It's dangerous. He goes all that way. He's turned away. And on the way back, he's reading. He is reading. Bouncy, 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 bouncy. Some of us can hardly even read in a car, in an airplane. He is behind a horse and he's reading. This is not a casual seeker. No, this is a man who knows his need. And the Spirit brings Philip alongside of him, explains Scripture to him. He gets saved. Right? That's all the longer he has been a believer. This is all the longer he has known Christ. In a chariot, little ride, they go a little ways further. He sees water and he says to Philip, there's water, why shouldn't I be baptized? That's all it takes. I'm a believer for minutes, maybe hours. There's water, let's go. Are you a believer today? Are you a Christian? There's water. If you have not been baptized before. The first objection some of you are going to have to today is, I'm not ready yet. I need a little bit more time. I need to mature a little bit more. But don't you see? Baptism is not something you do after a while. It is not the end. It's the beginning. It is the starting line, not the finish line. It's not even a halfway point. There's no waiting period throughout the book of Acts. Baptism is a starting line, not the finish line. It's a race, and this is the beginning. This is not pole vaulting or high jumping. There's not a bar or a standard that you have to clear before you can do this. Baptism is simply saying, this is the beginning line. I'm in. I'm in the race, right? I've started. Baptism is simply, and in a few minutes, we're going to call some of you to simply do this. Out of my seat, I'm in. It's a starting line. You don't have to reach a certain level of maturity. First picture, I believe, I've never been baptized before, there's water, why shouldn't I? Here's the second picture. In the book of Acts is the picture of the early church in motion. In Acts, there are a bundle of things that are always presented as accompanying conversion together. Whenever somebody believes, what goes into it is you repent, you believe, you get baptized, and you receive the Holy Spirit. Those four things together, repent, believe, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. And we could add to that the fifth one, of being part of a local church. In Acts, it's not often stated directly, it's more often shown, it's assumed, it's just displayed throughout the book, you'll join a church. But the point of those four or five together in Acts seems not so much to be figuring out the exact order in which they take place as saying this is the combined picture. All of these together go into conversion, you have to have all of the pieces. Because the second objection some of you are going to have, and this one may be more common in this service, the second objection may well be saying not, I'm too new, but, well, I've already been at it for so long already. I've already been a Christian for so many years. Maybe even I'm too old physically, too old spiritually. I don't need this at this point. I've made it this far without being baptized. What is the value of this physical thing if I have Jesus? What's the value of the symbol? And if you are in that circumstance, Acts also gives a picture of you. It's in Acts 19. There are a group of disciples from John the Baptist. They meet Paul, and Paul explains to them, you've got a few of the pieces of conversion, but you don't have all of them. And the way Luke presents this to us is to say, and this should be completely unusual in the church. You should have every one of these four pieces together. And so Paul says, well, have you been baptized into the name of Christ? Have you received the Holy Spirit? They say, no, we haven't had all of those pieces, even though we have repented. And Paul's solution, the solution is they get baptized and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. It's all four together. It is a command. Be baptized. You say you're going to follow Christ. How are you going to follow Christ taking up your cross if you don't do the first thing he tells you to do? Be baptized. It's just like in marriage. How could you ever have a successful marriage if you never first take her publicly as your wife? There is value in the public symbol. All four go together. Having a few of the pieces, but not all, should not be. And if you have not received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it may perhaps be related to that you have not taken this first step, which we have been commanded. You may say, well, what will people think of me? I'm older. I've been part of the church for so many years. They'll think it's silly. They'll think it's wrong that I never did it earlier. We are tempted so often to think that people will regard these kinds of public acts as ridiculous, when in fact the exact opposite is true. Do you know how encouraged people will be to see you come forward this day? How inspiring it will be for them. And in case you have forgotten, Pastor Casey reminded me this week, he was baptized the last time we did baptisms. You will be held in greater honor. That's not why we do it, but I assure you no one will think it's silly or ridiculous. And by the way, who cares? Right? Who cares? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, stop caring about his own reputation, stop caring about what other people think about your image. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, putting your self-image to death, and follow me. And if you're truly saying, I'm not going to do it, I don't want to do it because of what people will think, well, at some level, then you're not ready for what this is symbolizing. Forsaking all else, forsaking all others, that in death with Christ you might have eternal life. Who cares what they think? There's all kind of work being done on how for parents, grandparents, you want to pass on values to your kids. One of the worst things you can do is tell them to have values and not live by them yourselves. And if you have been bringing your kids to church, teaching them they should live a certain way for God, and they were to see you come forward this day and go into that tank, get into the water, and be baptized, there is nothing you could possibly do that would more impress upon their hearts and their souls that everything we are about is good and beautiful and right and life-giving. Don't do it so that they will think well of you, but living a life of integrity yourself is the best way to pass it on to the kids you have been bringing with you. Come forward this day and be baptized. There it is. Why shouldn't I? It's a command, not a suggestion. And it's also a promise. And this brings us to our third vignette. It's also a promise. Be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The men in Acts 19 mentioned they had only received John's baptism, not the fuller baptism that came later in Christ. So, let's talk about John the Baptist for a minute. John was the forerunner of Christ's ministry. Multiple Gospels tell us that John would baptize in the Jordan River. Mark chapter 1, verse 5. He would go out in the Jordan River. People would come to him. They would flock to him from the whole surrounding area. And so I want to invite you to join with me. Picture this scene. All right, picture in your mind's eye, picture John out in the Jordan River, wilderness all around, and people are just streaming towards him. And he's standing out in the middle of the river, and one after another, as he is preaching, they are coming to him, and he's saying, I baptize you. I baptize you. I baptize you. One after another, after another. The word bapto meant to dip. It was commonly used to refer to the way that they would dye cloth. You take a piece of cloth, you submerge it in a colored liquid, and hold it until it takes on the characteristics of the dye. It was a way of publicly, symbolically declaring their union with Christ. And so can you picture it? John comes, and he is talking about a kingdom. He is talking about a Savior, a new way of going about life. And people are so excited about it that they are walking out to him in the middle of the water. They want to be a part of it that badly. Do you? Do you? Are you that excited about the new kingdom in Christ that you would go and get in the water and be baptized? And John gave the promise that as he baptized with physical water, there would come one after him who was greater, who would baptize you, color you, submerge you, not in water, but in the Holy Spirit. You will be filled. And so you might now be saying, okay, yes, I want that. I really do. I'm excited about that kind of kingdom, that kind of life. It's just, well, we live in a different society than they did. And I'm in a dry clean only suit, right? I'm wearing white. Let's be real for a minute. We live in a different society. I suppose at some level, John's followers had the advantage of they had to walk back through the desert. They could trust they would be dry by the time they got back home, all right? At whatever level, today, you didn't tell me I'm not prepared for the logistics. If that's you, on the one hand, your car will dry, right? It's not as cold today as it was yesterday. I believe the Lord will honor any sacrifice you might make today. You can come back late for Sunday school. It will be all right. But if you do have these logistical concerns, we're prepared for you. In just a moment, we're going to invite you to come forward. Men are going to go to this door to your right. Women are going to go to this door to your left. We have all kinds of change of clothes options back there. We've got robes. The deacons, deaconesses will be there ready to help you. Their first question to you will be, do you want to go into the water as you are, or do you need to change first? We will help you. We have t-shirts. Change of clothes options if you need to go back to your car afterwards. Don't let a little logistics derail you. Jesus Christ is calling. Why shouldn't I? Go home wet. Two special concerns. For kids. Kids under, we're going to say 12 to 13. We're going to ask you not to do it today. Parents, if you have young ones under 12 or 13, we're not saying as an absolute never ever, but the younger we are, the more processing it requires. Do we truly understand what this is all about? Are we displaying evidence of a changed life, that genuine conversion? And so we don't want to cause embarrassment, anyone coming forward and being turned back or anything like that. So we're going to look at that preteen to teenage transition as sort of the minimum for today, all right? If you have concerns about that, please come talk to me afterwards. We wrestle with this as a staff, as a board, all right? That's the first special concern. The second is, if you have already been baptized, and I'm talking baptism as an adult, a person of your own volition saying, I'm going to go forward and be baptized, not talking infant baptism, all right? If you were baptized as an infant and that was it, come on down. We'll baptize you as a believer. But if you've already been baptized and you're saying, well, I walked away and now I'm coming back and I want to use baptism as a public symbol, we love the direction you are taking, the direction your life is trending in. We affirm the passion you have, and we're saying baptism is not the way to display that, but rather this is God being faithful to what he did the first time, laying you down in death, raising you to new life. Again, you have concerns about that, you don't understand that, come talk to me afterwards. Just want to throw those two things out there. You may say, fifth objection, my family isn't here. And if I had known, I would have wanted them to be here. And again, this is more about following Christ than anything else. At times, Jesus calls people to leave behind father and mother. But also, this is being video recorded. All right, you can let them know afterwards. There it is. Last one, last possible objection. Perhaps not from people being baptized, but from others in the church. They haven't had proper interviews. You haven't given them clearance, haven't had proper instruction, haven't had the interview process. Personally, I might tend to agree with you. The only problem is, show me in Acts where we had interviews stretched out over weeks, right? There is often real dialogue, and so both Casey and the deacons are going to be talking with you briefly backstage just to make sure we do have basic understanding of what this is all about. But again, picture John. Picture John out there in the river. People coming towards him to repent, be baptized. Do we have a written copy of your testimony on file? Do we have your letter of transfer from your previous church? No. We will take care of all of that later. There is a good side to being spontaneous from time to time. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die, and in doing that, to find life everlasting beginning even now. Baptism is both the symbol of that and the first step. So, my introduction is at an end. There's water. Why shouldn't I? We invite our musicians to come forward. We invite deacons, deaconesses to take your respective places. Men, will you come? Who professes Christ and has not ever taken this first step of baptism? Men, to your right. Women, to our left, to your left. Would you come? Let us take up our cross and follow him.